Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection, by the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Okay, we're going to get underneath. Let Lila lead you out.
The first reading is from Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 133 responsively. How good and how pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity.
It is like
the dew of Hermon flowing down upon the hills of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, like life forevermore. The second reading is from 1 John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, we have two resurrection appearances, three greetings of peace, a week-long pep talk of encouragement to believe, and the very breath of Jesus, the very breath, breathing the Holy Spirit into his apostles, his disciples. What a story John gives us in those dozen verses. It's not a long story, but it's a profound story. The disciples are locked in that room behind the closed doors because they are afraid. On Easter night, they're huddled behind those locked doors. And as the story unfolds a week later, after they've seen Jesus, they're still huddled behind closed doors. Not locked anymore, but still closed. They're frightened. They're unsure. And at least with Thomas, filled with not very much faith and trust. These hardly look like the folks who would carry on the transforming mission of Jesus Christ. But they are. In one way or another, we all know what those disciples were doing. We know how it feels to want to hide behind strong locked doors. We know how it feels to want to hide from things that frighten us or threaten us. We don't usually hide behind locked doors like Peter and the disciples did on that Easter weekend, but we do want to keep from view those things that bother us, that cause us to worry, to be afraid, things like insecurities, addictions, illness, our grudges, our unforgiving past, our doubts, our relationships that are eating us alive, those relationships that are less than whole or healthy, our self-righteousness, our doubt. Those are the things that we want to hide from view of other people, that we want to hide from behind locked and closed doors. What we really want to hide is our sin. We know what it's like to want to hide behind locked doors. We know what those disciples were doing that Easter week. But here's the good news in this story. This is the good news for the disciples, and it's also good news for us. First of all, this story tells us that we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay behind those locked doors with all those things that we want to keep locked away. The good news is that Jesus has gone through those locked doors, just as he did in the gospel. Jesus goes through the locked doors of our insecurities, our fears, and comes to us. You know, he didn't wait until the disciples believed the words of the women who had seen the empty tomb. He didn't wait for them to express their faith about what had happened on Easter morning. He didn't wait for them to stop being afraid and fling wide the doors. He didn't wait for Thomas to believe the amazing report of his friends. He didn't wait for any of them to do anything different or to be anyone different. He just showed up despite the locked doors. He offered them peace and peace and peace. And he loved them. That's all. He didn't demand that they were different before he showed up. That's what he did that first Easter evening. And then a week later, and today, he comes through the locked doors and steps right into the middle of our messy lives. He offers peace and forgiveness, and he loves us right where we are. That's what the resurrected Jesus does. And when Jesus shows up, he doesn't stop there. He invites us to respond. He steps into the cloudy, doubt-filled world of Thomas and invited him to touch his wounds and to see for himself what he had doubted. He does the same thing for us. And here's an amazing grace. We don't touch Jesus' wounds. Jesus touches our wounds. Jesus touches us where we hurt and invites us to healing, invites us to believe. And like on that first Easter night, he gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the disciples God's power, his grace, God's grace, God's guidance. He breathed on them and gave them the gift of forgiveness. That's the same Spirit that we receive in baptism. It's the gift that we have been given over and over again. God reaches out to us and makes us his new creation. Just as when Jesus breathed on his disciples, nothing much happened. They were still behind those locked doors a week later. They were still hiding. That's the good news of forgiveness and the power of the Holy Spirit. It just stayed with them. Not much happened. It took them a while to understand that their coming to believe and to act on that faith was a process that they slowly grew into. And isn't that the way with us as well? We live in a process, gradually growing deeper and more in our faith and in our understanding, gradually coming to be forgiven, to be loved by God. The door is unlocked. God has unlocked that door for us. Gradually and slowly, we become able to trust in that love that God is giving us. But Jesus did something else on that Easter day. He breathed on them, and with the breath of the Holy Spirit, he gave them peace and forgiveness. He loved them, and he sent them out. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. He gave them a mission, sent them into service. He had a job for them to do. And the disciples discovered that it was only when they walked out from those closed and locked doors, it was only when they started to follow Jesus' command to be his servants, it was only then that they discovered that they had within themselves the ability and the strength to do what Jesus had given them, to put it to use. Then things changed. It wasn't that their fears went away or that the world changed. I would guess that they were probably still scared and lonely and full of doubts. But something had changed. Jesus was with them, and they knew that. They knew that was true in a way that they had never imagined. And that is true for us as well. Jesus has walked through the locked doors of our lives and has come to us in love. He has breathed out the breath of the Holy Spirit upon us, and he has forgiven us. He has sent us out into the world just as he was sent by the Father. This is the truth of Easter, that we have been sent to the world to tell this truth and to love one another as Jesus loves. That's the work of the church. We are to reveal God to the world by loving and forgiving one another, by being one heart and soul, as it says in the reading from the Acts that we heard this morning. When the world sees God through our love and forgiveness, then the world can choose to be in a relationship with God, with this God of limitless love. Our mission, the mission of this faith community, is not to be the arbitrator of right or wrong. Our mission is to bear unceasing witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's the free news of Easter. That's the good news of Easter, to tell the world that Jesus Christ is alive through our love for one another. This is the truth that Jesus is breathing out love and forgiveness and peace for all of us. Our mission is to tell the world of God's love for us, to tell the world of God's love for each one of us. So there you have it. We are the Easter people. We've been sent to love. We've been sent to forgive. We've been sent to be peacemakers. That's our mission, to love, to forgive, to be peacemakers. Jesus comes into the locked rooms of our messy lives, offers us peace and forgiveness, and invites us to receive the Holy Spirit that makes that peace and forgiveness real and active in our lives. The message for us today is to carry that message to the world through loving one another, through being peacemakers, and being people who forgive. Alleluia, Christ is risen.